Welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman. Today I'm here with Clint Rutkus.
Hey, I'm Clint.
Clint is behind the Coding for Fun toolkit for Windows Phone, one of the most popular third-party-ish extensions.
I like the ish.
Well, it's sort of, I mean, you are a Microsoft employee.
Yes, so. I am. The cool thing about it was a toolkit we created based on about 10 apps we did for Windows Phone 7, where we realized, hey, we're constantly reusing the same parts. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think it was called the toolkit, but each app had a different subset of the same controls. So I'm like, well, let's start creating our Coding for Fun toolkit for the phone. And now it's actually transformed into support Windows Store as well, to a certain degree. And that's getting built out as, you know, I have free time on the weekends.
It's proving out the fact that you can leverage the same code to target both.
Yes, it requires a bit of magic behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. As I have my solution up, I can actually talk about how I do some of that stuff. But it does allow you to literally use the same XAML, the same code behind across both if you use the toolkit.
That's amazing. At some point, we should get more detail on that from you.
Yeah, yeah.
But today, in our limited amount of time, we thought we'd just introduce what Coding for Fun toolkit is. What is it?
Okay.
What is Coding for Fun, by the way?
Coding for Fun is a team on the Channel 9 team, mm-hmm, at Microsoft. And it's all about just doing fun, cool stuff to get people interested in coding.
You know, I always support fun. I think I do.
So at times, you know, it is, hey, we want to create an alarm clock, mm-hmm, which for some people may not call that fun, but it's teaching you how to do
it. Sure, yeah.
We also have, like, Coding for Fun, Channel 9 was behind the Absolute Beginner series for,
right,
Windows Phone, Windows Store.
So I hear we'll be updating that soon.
Yes, we are.
Very excited to see that. I know that a lot of people love the Absolute Beginner series,
yes,
for Windows Phone.
Yes, I'm actually helping create the two sample apps that will be used.
Well,
for
we know they'll be very, yes, high quality then.
So then we also have, which I totally got distracted now.
Sorry. Tangent City here at Inside Windows Phone.
I know.
But on the Coding for Fun toolkit. So
yeah,
you guys built this toolkit. It's a bunch of controls you knew that you wanted to use for the things you were building.
It's actually no longer just controls. We actually have things like audio libraries. We have network. We have storage. And we have the controls. And we also have full-blown tester apps that I use to verify what I coded actually works.
Well, I need to look into this myself. I know that some of the apps I've been working on certainly could benefit from
it. So, like, microphone.
Mm-hmm.
If I use this as a canonical example of how something should work if you just look at it and you don't know how everything works under the hood. You just want to be able to record audio. You basically want to start and stop.
Yeah, I don't care about waveforms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
so literally, that's what the audio library does for it. It's like, I think it's called microphone recorder, and you literally just say microphone recorder dot start, microphone recorder dot stop, and it gives you back the buffer.
And which API are you calling under the hood?
Under the hood for phone, it is memory stream audio sync.
Ooh.
In the capture source. And the nice thing is about this one is it actually works across, I believe, both Windows 8 and Windows Store. No, it doesn't.
Okay. Yep. This is a managed API you're calling into.
But this goes back to if you're a developer, now if you use this, even though under the hood they're two separate APIs,
mm-hmm,
you just call the Coding for Fun microphone library, and you're good.
So we're looking at the actual source of the toolkit.
Yes, this is
here.
Actually source right now. This is all open source.
All available online.
All available online at codingforfun.codeplex.com.
Fantastic. So people who really want to dig under the covers can,
yes,
do that. Can they contribute back
they
into the project?
They can. We actually have external contributors. So like for Windows Phone, the app bar prompt. So view it like the mail app. So when you click reply and you get the thing for reply all forward.
Yes.
Scott Love, I forgot his last name, but an external contributor actually put that in the toolkit, and now we're actually, we've tweaked it, made it, you know, better, so now it actually has, due to that one control, we actually do a lot more progressive background transitions, so like,
okay,
the background, the overlay fades in now, versus before it was very harsh.
Okay.
So now it looks, it just adds that extra little polish.
Well, I can, I sure
to make
know.
Everything a system level control.
The actual polish of the transitions are one of the most powerful things that we have, and they're actually in the phone toolkit.
Yeah. Which is also another amazing toolkit if you haven't used it yet.
And I would say it's almost required that you have the phone toolkit in order to build a professional level application on phone. Because it does have the transitions in it. And the transitions, they're the same look and feel of the transitions that we use in the native operating system. Allow you to do things like feather in, feather out. Continuum is there now. Continuum was the one that was missing for a while, and I believe it's there now. If it's not, it's going to be soon. Highly recommend you look at those too. But back to coding for fun.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about some of your most, you know, it's awesome. Anybody out there who wants to go get this and contribute, they can. Is there a sample implementing all of these too as well in the source?
So that is I have coding for fun that toolkit that test. Is basically that namespace is the tester. So I have Phone 7, Phone 8, and Windows Store.
Oh, wow.
All calling all the same APIs. And I have separate solutions for Windows Phone 7, Windows Phone 8, and Windows Store if you don't want to use the giant solution.
I see this here in your code tree. You've got all of those different projects.
Yes. And then they're labeled in such a way that I know which one I'm actually targeting.
Right.
So the nice... I had one other point, I just forgot it. But, so this is the Phone 8 client up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most leveraged classes are the prompts.
Okay.
And because initially, when Phone 7 came out...
It's sort of like a periodic table here.
Yeah. The message box had an issue. I'm sorry, the underlying pop-up class had an issue where you couldn't set a source. It just wouldn't show up.
Oh.
So I went in and basically made my own, being, you know, a developer that I am. So I went in and said, okay, well, the big one was I wanted an about prompt.
Mm-hmm.
And being coding for fun, I wanted, like, you know, a background watermark along with the image and stuff.
Right, right.
And without having that ability, then it made it not look as good.
Yeah, right.
So I went in and basically made that prompt, and that was actually the more or less the base prompt for everything here.
And everything is templated off this then, or there?
More or less, and then or supersets, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
The other one that a lot of people like using is the toast prompt. So if you use the shell prompt in your application, the toast shell.
Toast shell.
It will not show up in the application. It only works outside of the application.
Mm.
So, but a lot of people like that. So it's like, hey, you know what?
You're talking about the toast notification.
Toast notification, yeah. So wouldn't it be nice if my application actually had that? So it works just like it looks, as close as I can make it to a system level control as possible, complete with, you know, you go like that.
Right. A lot of people don't even know that we have that gesture there to get rid of
notification. Really?
It's one of those hidden things, right?
Okay.
But we have a lot of these, a number of these, where they're a little bit hidden because they're subtle.
And then the big thing for me is when there is a bug, like there are things that I don't think about,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, okay, well, if I have toast prompt, okay, but what happens if a toast prompt happens with the keyboard up?
Right.
So that actually what happens is the entire screen transitions up. So I have to detect that, where someone reported that bug, and I was like, I never thought about someone actually physically doing that.
That's fantastic that you have the ability to do this on-screen keyboard test, because you know one of the things that annoys me the most about so many apps is when they'll present you with some screen information, and they have the on-screen keyboard covers up an entry box.
Yeah, so
that just drives me insane.
Going back to that, okay, so I have an input prompt here, and actually I took a lot of time to get this, so this shows up
orientation aware. Fantastic, man.
So it's the little things that I think add that little extra complexity.
That's what makes or break an outstanding application.
And same thing with adding in the overlay. The nice thing about the overlay is it actually blocks anything underneath it.
Right.
Because how I hook into the actual DOM.
Okay.
The Silverlight DOM. So, like, I'm clicking the...
The XAML DOM.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
clicking the event and you can't do anything. Same thing with hiding the app bar and putting the app bar back. I reset the state, but you don't want anyone to click that.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite things you've done here, the things you're most proud of?
Actually, a new thing I just added in is with phone, with basically if you have a pivot, you know, most controls, if you click on it in, let's see, I should have one. So if I click on that toggle, it still moves.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just wired in this, so now that doesn't move anymore.
Oh, I see. So if you first click on the bar.
Yeah. So okay. Sliders.
We had these design guidelines that actually sort of suggested that this is sort of unfavored practice to
Your system, the slider in phone 8 allows it, or does this. So then that gave me, like, hey, I can do it.
That's right. So you give third parties the ability to do it.
Yeah,
now.
So now I added in a bindable property now. So it's, that's the wrong project. It is bindings, prevent scroll binding. And
so this means that you get context on that control itself without having context in the pivot.
Yeah.
So that the motion on the scroll doesn't change the pivot.
I mean, I'm clicking here, and it just stays versus going back into the pivot.
Right.
Acts like the system level control, which everyone would imagine, hey, I'm on a slider. Why is the pivot moving?
Well, any control that you accept input into that you put on a pivot or a panorama could potentially have this problem.
Yes.
Including, I've seen people do map controls. I've seen people do text entries.
Well, the nice thing now is if you've attached that property, I will say I haven't tested it on a map control, but it should work. I think the new map control does block it as well.
Okay.
But it's one of those. Going back to the kit, though.
Yes.
So the slider control, this was created because how Phone 7 slider didn't act how I wanted it, or namely, like, I click on that on a value and it jumps to that value, did stepping.
Right.
So Phone 8 slider does fix that. But the nice thing now is I also have an step frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than going exact precision, I actually can go, like, if I have a step frequency of 1 versus up here, there is none.
Got it. It gives you a little bit more usable input mechanism as opposed to having to actually parse some complex number.
And in coming up in the near future, I will actually have all the super sliders inheriting off of their base of the proper framework. So except for Phone 7, Phone 8 will be inherited off the slider for Phone 8. And same thing with Windows Store. Because then they act more or less what I want, but not exactly. So, like, for Phone 8, you don't get the stepping.
Right.
So if you want to transfer that into, like, a Windows Store, then it's like, okay, well, I don't have step frequency, but that's something I want. So by having this, by leveraging one class, now you can go across all three.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. I'm sure we could talk a long time about exactly what you did to accomplish that.
Let's see, what other nice things. So we do have the gzip web
client
library.
This is something that, so are you incorporating, so HTTP client is now available for phone.
Yes.
As a downloadable through NuGet.
Yes.
For those of you who've been waiting, I know Async Await is our friend. We love Async Await. We're so excited about it. However, when Phone 8 came out, we didn't have time necessarily to get this one piece in, which is a very important HTTP client. And now HTTP client is available as a NuGet package that you can add. But it didn't have gzip compression. One of the main things that we recommend you do when you're managing HTTP traffic is compress it using something like gzip. So
this was done by Delay along with Morten Nielsen, helped contribute, and basically it was... Those guys are the root of that. So this is
You're leveraging their work
With their permission. Actually, Morten actually contributed code as well.
Okay.
To it and updated it, and I mean it's great. Going back to other controls, so the phone toolkit has date time and time picker. What they don't have is a time span picker.
Time span picker. Okay.
So view it like I need to wait for 5 minutes.
Yep.
Rather than need to know the time, I can say, hey, you know, I have hours, minutes, seconds, and I can go in and X just like it, because it's actually of the code is borrowed from the phone toolkit, but heavily abstracted out and made generic, so now we can just throw anything we want at it.
That is great. That is great. A lot of different types of developer scenarios need to be able to set a time span.
Another big one, going back to just adding in just pure little polish, is like an image tile control. So for phone, you have the people hub is a perfect example of this.
Yeah.
So we can go in and say, you know, let's go add in.
Oh, so this is for within the context of an application. You can create
as
a tile.
I just Oops. As I screwed that up on my own. So actually, my exception handling did work.
Well, there you go. You meant to demo that, didn't you?
Yes. No, I didn't. But so it acts like a system level control, along with we even have like round buttons. So which sounds like who needs this, but you'd be shocked at people that don't add in the little things like the new version that with phone with Windows Store support added in paths.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do something cool like if I go to disable here, you can see like this path simple, I overrode basically the path behind it.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Where this one, I forced it set, and I even did a more complex one here with a guy and a girl. So the girl whose coat or path color was set stays set, where the other one doesn't. So it goes back and it flips back.
I see.
Same thing with toggle button, and I even have added in something called opacity, where it does a nice little. Fade in, fade out. So if you ever played with the music player, that's kind of where that concept came in.
Got it.
Just whether you like it or dislike an object.
There's so much here. So then, as a developer, what do I do to leverage the Coding for Phone toolkit? Are you on NuGet?
I am. So you can either go to NuGet or, hopefully I'm connected in here. So if I go to codingforfun.codeplex.com.
And here you can get the full source.
You can get the full source. If you were using the 1.6 version, the old version,
mm-hmm.
going to 2.0, when I added in Windows Store support, I did change the namespace.
Okay.
So that is a one big, giant, like, hey, world slightly changed.
So if you have an existing application that you're leveraging this in, you don't necessarily want to go get the new stuff. But
well, you can. It's literally adding in, it's changing a couple things. Like the NuGet package slightly changed along with the namespace.
Mm-hmm.
And then I changed the content property on the buttons, shifted slightly as well.
Wow.
But past that, then it's, you know.
Not that much work.
No.
And then you've got different NuGet installs for different pieces.
NuGets, yes. So if you only want the audio, you have that option along with the controls.
Is there a big size hit to take the whole thing, or
no? But as a developer, I like keeping my footprint as small as humanly possible, and I know other people may think that exact same way.
It's a great principle from a security perspective as well. Like when you think about endpoints and
then it's like, well, if you use like the audio library. Do I need to have this flag, or is something going to potentially happen on certification testing? So my philosophy is, if you don't need it, you have the option of not taking it. If you want to use it, the complete actually just calls the four network stacks. I'm sorry, the four NuGet packages. So,
any other critical points about the toolkit?
You know, if you guys find a bug or need a feature in it, you know, where. I'm always on the discussion or issue tracker. Bugs are typically fixed within 24 hours. I try to do a monthly push now out to NuGet. So
this is outstanding, Clint. I just can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to build as polished an app as possible. And the Coding for Fun toolkit makes it easier than ever to add some of these critical components.
Yes.
Thanks a lot for joining us today, Clint.
Thank you.
We'll see you again next time on Inside Windows Phone.